The hardest working show in the business, or at least at this station, in their time slot. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, Brownies, put another scare into Kansas City, but it's not enough. But it may be enough to convince us that they can live up to the hype this year. What that is, the final result, will be fun to go on the journey with them. Jeff Lloyd, our guy who's locked on Browns, and he's locked in right now on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Jeff, welcome back.
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing this fine Monday?
We're doing okay. I mean, that's one you want to get, not only for moral victory, but you want to get it because if you are a true contender, you'd like to have a leg up on a tie break. You'd love to have, dare I say, the road to the Super Bowl goes through Cleveland. I do feel like we come out of that game, and I think you can justify the loss a little bit, the turnovers, the botching of the punt and all that. Now, I know that's all part of the game, and you were on the road, and you got to perform big in big places. But how do you feel about their ability to stay with Kansas City? I know Mahomes is always going to be a difference maker. We know that. But what kind of questions did the Browns answer for you in week one?
I think we answered questions on the offensive side of the ball. You know, where exactly, you know, is this offense maybe headed the next few years? You know, the Browns have questions about Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and their contracts beyond this season. Anthony Schwartz turned out to be a nice surprise, obviously, yesterday. Here's a player I highly coveted coming out of Auburn. He is a difference maker speed-wise. Not that the Browns don't have, you know, fast receivers. They just don't have anybody with an electric track speed. Anthony Schwartz brings that. You saw him in the first half have, you know, some plays where he certainly made a difference. If he didn't stumble on that long reception, that would have been an easy six. The tight end evolution. David Njoku, people have, you know, been, whether requested to be traded or fans wanted him traded, they've been trying to get him off this roster for 2 years. What you saw yesterday is a guy who's big, athletic, and there's not really anybody secondary-wise who can cover him. Linebackers certainly can't run with him, so he's always a mismatch nightmare. Defensively, and this is where I think everybody, and I'm seeing, oh, you know, Joe Woods needs to go. This defense didn't play together. They haven't played together. They practiced together some in the summer. This defensive line, you know, Myles Garrett didn't take a snap. Jadeveon Clowney didn't take a snap. Certain players in the secondary didn't play in the summer. They have not played in one game yet. Granted, going against Kansas City was not going to help them. As far as, you know, maybe like hitting the ground running, it was going to be very difficult, which is what we saw yesterday. But you notice they look faster. You notice this defensive line with Malik Jackson, Malik McDowell, joining Jadeveon Clowney, joining Myles Garrett. They are all crazy athletic. They can do some special, special things. So you have hopes for this defense. We tried to tell people on the show that, you know, week one is not going to be the true testament of what this defense is going to be. Maybe four, five, that's when you're going to kind of get a better feel of where this defense is headed as far as, you know, the potential and maybe growing together, meshing together. So it was going to be difficult yesterday, but, you know, play Houston next week. Let's not take too much away, you know, from what they might be able to do against that. And the other thing is we're trying to tell everybody it was, you know, this season, yeah, week one through Kansas City, and certainly it stings because it seems like you had them on the ropes and you didn't get it. But this season hopefully doesn't come down to week one versus Kansas City. It comes down to week 21 versus Kansas City.
Wanted to hit you up on Baker. He, you know, no touchdowns, but the feeling that I had leaving the game was I thought he played a solid game, man. I really did. Do you agree with that take?
Oh, I 100% agree. And if you look at it, look, I mean, touchdown passes, they could have easily at the 2 or 3 yard line, you know, said, hey, we can easily fake it to Nick Chubb. We can easily fake it to Kareem Hunt and have one, if not two, guys wide open. But, you know, when you're trying to throw the ball more, which is what it looked like the Browns were trying to do yesterday, trying to get back more to, you know, an even split of throwing versus passing, you know, Nick Chubb, you know, it didn't get his 100-yard day. Kareem Hunt didn't get as many touches as people maybe anticipated he was going to get. So if you're going to take the ball out of their hands because you want to throw the football a little bit more, might as well give them, you know, give them a little incentive and say, look, you know, we'll still give you the opportunity to get in there, get these touchdowns. You know, touchdown passes, sometimes they come in bunches. And it's weird to think the Browns dropped 29 yesterday and did not even have a touchdown pass or a two-point conversion that was a throw. But if you're this successful and your offensive line is this good around the goal line, for right now, keep it simple. Why show something you don't have to show to this point? Plus, if you're also going to ask this offensive line to do a lot more pass blocking, you know, because you want to get Baker to another level, you want to use all these weapons you have, you know, at the receiver positions, you know, throw your offensive line a bone. Hey, close to the goal line, here you go. We appreciate all the pass blocking you do. Go knock somebody over. let's get six, and, you know, we'll line it up again next series.
I want to go back to Anthony Schwartz with you because I agree with you, man. That was quite the pleasant surprise to see the impact that he can make for this team. But now schematically, what do you think that can do moving forward? Because that rushing attack we know can be dominant. But now when you sprinkle in kind of not a gadget player, I don't know if I want to call him that, but the speed element that he can bring, how valuable down the road do you think he can be for this year's team?
Just his presence on the field. And look, you know, when you are playing in the secondary and somebody comes on in the field, and now in one game, I believe it was 86 total yards that, you know, Anthony Schwartz put up, you know that he's not just there as a decoy. Obviously, the Browns tried to get him the ball. They got him the ball four times yesterday in the first half, went away from it in the second half. But you have to account for him. And meanwhile, you're doing these things. We're saying, well, we don't really have anybody in the secondary who can cover David Njoku. When Odell Beckham Jr. comes back, that's not really a guy we just think we can go one-on-one against. You know, we probably have to shade a little help that way, which is all well and good. Who's covering Kareem Hunt? Who's covering Jarvis Landry? Who's covering Austin Hooper? Who's going to cover Andy Janovich if he sneaks out of the backfield? You were putting so much on the defense, on the linebackers, and the secondary's plate of people they have to watch. Everybody is a weapon, and it just makes it really difficult. Look, the math is just not there. There's not a way you can basically give everybody the attention you want to. And a player like Anthony Schwartz, you may line him up on a decent cornerback, you know, and if that's the case, sure. But there's not a lot of cornerbacks in the NFL that run, you know, 4-3 or sub 4-3, and he can beat a lot of guys with his footwork. What you saw yesterday was maybe the tip of the iceberg. Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot more, you know, of that jet motion where there is the possibility of them giving the ball to him or just faking reverses to him where everybody on the defense has got to account for it, should just make up, you know, for wide open passing lanes. Baker's going to find these guys. You saw that yesterday. The completion percentage was high. He was throwing strong, consistent passes all day long yesterday. Now you get these guys even more open. He's going to hit them. Opportunities for a lot of yards after the catch. Should just, you know, hopefully be able to take this, what was a really, really good offense going down the stretch last year, to hopefully, you know, taking it up at a notch where it is just a great offense.
Jeff Lloyd with us, Locked On Browns here on Rothman and Ice. He's on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I think everybody has the same kind of result reaction to Ronnie Harrison getting booted. However, you could make the case that emotions were running high on both sidelines. You know, you get a tackle like that in front of everybody, Jeff. You get an assistant coach who his guy is on the ground in a vulnerable position. Harrison's cleat is over him or steps on him. Didn't look like it was a curb stomp or anything. And then the coach pushes Harrison off, and then, yes, the guy not wearing pads is probably not the guy you want to shove. I think everybody knows that, but do you think that this is just one of those deals where the second Harrison decides to push him, it doesn't matter anything that happened prior to that?
Well, look, you can't put your hands on somebody who certainly is not in uniform. But in the Ronnie Harrison side of things, the way that all went down, are we even sure Ronnie Harrison knew who threw it or who jabbed him? You know, and you're a football player, you got to stick up for yourself, you know, and probably in the back of your head, you're not thinking it was a coach who put their hands on you. You're thinking it's a player. So as opposed to looking weak, what are you going to do? You're going to battle back. Ronnie Harrison's leg was elevated. Ronnie Harrison had no intention of putting his foot on that player. Everyone's seen football long enough. Stomps are short. They're quick, because basically what you're doing is to hope nobody sees that you actually just did what you did. The leg was hanging over him. Some couple of players came over, kind of bumped into each other. Harrison's leg came down. It didn't come down violently in any way whatsoever. The biggest thing and the biggest question I have is, what in the world was the assistant coach doing on the field for the rest of the game? Because if you ruled it originally in favor, and probably wrongly, that it was a foul by the Kansas City Chiefs sideline, then you had it corrected that, you know, it was a foul on Ronnie Harrison. Why is the assistant coach still around? Because, you know, A, number one, don't touch players. Certainly don't touch players that, you know, aren't your players that you don't coach. You know, I'm sure the Browns will get some sort of letter of apology, you know, that they both, you know, parties should have been, you know, handled in the same way for their inappropriate actions. You can't justify Ronnie Harrison's actions whatsoever. I understand that. He got what he deserved. But it just seemed like it was a really, really, you know, mixed bag, where the assistant coach didn't have to leave the sidelines, continued to stay for the rest of the game. But the player who basically reacted to being shoved by somebody who was not in uniform, I don't know, the whole thing got a little messy. I'm sure the NFL truly wasn't ready to, you know, come, probably didn't have the appropriate, you know, penalty for everybody that was involved.
Jeff, good stuff, man. Thanks for hopping on. You get the, I guess you would think you get the NFL equivalent of a gimme coming up against the Texans, although the upstart Texans just knocked off Jayville, and then you'll get the Bears at home. Probably get right before those two roadies to the Vikes and Chargers, and we'll check in with you soon. Thanks, man.
Always a pleasure, fellas. Have a great day.